And so, with the cup held high, me the leave Croke Park, All-Ireland football champions for 1949.
Oh, beautiful me, you got all that I need.
Dempsey hits Darren Fay. Anthony Finnerty comes in and gives him a touch of the elbow. Colm Coyle hitting Finnerty. This is Colm's first punt. Finnerty, delayed reaction, looks around, sees Martin O'Connell coming in and thinks that the best action is to go down.
What a set of matches we've had. Four terrific and memorable games. Final score, Meath 2-10, Dublin 15.
So Joe McDonagh, GAA president, presents Sam Maguire to Graham Geraghty and Meath are the football champions.
Hello, listeners. You're very welcome to another We Are Me podcast with Davey Rispin and Mickey Brennan. And Davey, I suppose we'll just get stuck into it straight away because we have to talk about this treble. And there's no point in dancing around and talking about other things. Kildare with an historic treble on the weekend, winning the intermediate final replay against Navan O'Matney's 118-110. And it's just a phenomenal feat by them.
Ah, for sure. Needless to say, it's the first time it's been done in Mead. I think it's only the second or third time maybe it's been done in the history of the game. I think Na Piercy and Limerick were the first club team to do a treble of this sort of kind before. But it's astonishing. And I actually love I love their template or their blueprint for it, Mickey, in that lads know exactly what team they're going to be part of. And without everybody agreeing to that, you know, that you're going to be junior, you're going to be intermediate, and you're going to be senior, it just wouldn't work, or they wouldn't get the success that they've got. I've seen it firsthand where they use the kind of the bare minimum for each of the teams, but that's key in all of this success happening. Do you know what I mean? Right from junior up to senior, it's amazing. And it's just full credit to them. Their management team, who obviously, you know, set this kind of thing in place. And they've been at this for a few years now, to be fair to them. They've been knocking on the door in every competition for the last number of years. Won the junior two last year, along with the senior a couple of years ago. And the intermediate sort of has eluded them up until, as we know now, on Sunday, where they completed, as you say, that historic treble.
Yeah, just like an unbelievable thing to be able to put on your CV for your club. It's just absolutely phenomenal. They've entered eight competitions with their adult teams this year. They've got to the finals of all of them. They still have some of the finals left because the cup competitions that were starting at the start of the year, the finals haven't been played. So if I'm not mistaken, I don't think they've lost any finals yet.
No, I don't think so. And you wouldn't fancy being a team to come up against them in a final, would you, considering their record? It's just astonishing. And look, what I love about the whole thing is they've celebrated each of them with the same significance. Do you know what I mean? Like, obviously the senior was the big one, but they celebrated the junior and the intermediate just as much as they did the senior. It's a club that are obviously incredibly together, and I think Nick Fitzgerald deserves great credit for the job in which he's done, and obviously Pat O'Halloran before him. You know, they're an absolutely fantastic club. Contrary to what people will say, they do have a big catchment area. You have to factor in the Bliver element of it as well, but at the same time, it's a probably very close-knit village over there in Kildare. And, you know, you've got young players, you've got old players, you've got players in the middle. Like, I'm just looking at the intermediate team. You've got the likes of Enda Fitzgerald there, man in his mid-40s, the likes of Podger Gagan, Derek Doran, obviously, you know, Martin Doran, some of those kind of guys. And then up onto their first team, you've got Mark McCormick, like 41 or 42 years of age. You've got the older brigade, but you've also got some brilliant young players as well. I'm just looking at Ross Flynn, the Mead S&C coach from a couple of years ago, getting 1-3 in the intermediate final as well. You've got all sorts going on there, but it's just a great, great win for them. They obviously rode their luck against O'Matney's the last day, and probably, you know, we're fortunate enough to get out of it with a draw in the end. And They'll be delighted with that sort of performance on the second time Vaskin to really put Navan O'Matney to the sword. I'm not sure if you've heard about the controversy with the scoreline, Mickey.
Yes, I did indeed, yeah.
I know it wasn't close, so we're not going to go into it probably in too much detail, but basically nobody is sure till Talkie scored 118, 17 or 116. Three or four different iterations of it. it didn't matter in the end, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. The mistake on the scoreboard didn't make a difference to the result. It was always going to be a Kildare win in the end, no matter which of the scores they put through. But Davey, you mentioned something there about the catchment area and whatever, and while it is quite a big catchment area, I suppose, like, you're still looking at a dual club because of the Bolivar aspect to it. And you're looking at three adult teams as well, which makes it even more phenomenal to have done what they've done.
It does. It does. In fairness, the latter stages of the year probably fell into their favour a little bit more on that.
Yeah.
Bolivar obviously dropped out at a quarter-final stage and Clonard were sort of done and stuff like that. But you're absolutely right. For the first half of the year, they wouldn't have had these lads for much time at all. They've had the benefit, and I actually think it probably stood to them in the last month or 6 weeks that they've had these guys night in, night out, whereas earlier in the year, they wouldn't have had them for half the time, do you know? But if they, look, they're incredibly fit. They're incredibly dedicated, Mickey, as well. I think that's the big takeaway, right? From January to what are we now, the end of October. For them to have 40-something players on the go in one club, and all pulling in the same direction, striving for success. It's a fairy tale story. It really is one of the most phenomenal stories I think I can ever remember. And I don't think it'll ever be replicated. Kildare should probably just cease production now and close down the club, because unfortunately for them, it's all downhill from here, regardless of what they want to achieve, Mickey.
Well, unless they bring in a 14 next year, you know, I'm trying to take on all of the championships. Davey, a word from Matneys as well. They'll be shocked and disappointed with this one. Great aspirations of going back up to senior. They will go into the Leinster competition, obviously, because Kildare can't put in their second team into that. But it will be a disappointing and a bitter pill for them to swallow.
It will, considering how close they came at the end of extra time in the first game, for sure. They'll have to try and pick themselves up for Leinster next weekend, which will be a big ask, obviously, on the back of the defeat. I remember Vincent's had it a few years ago. Do you remember when Dunboyne beat them in the Junior A final? And I think they got knocked out in Tullamore. Then it'll be a tough ask for them to kind of lift themselves and go as beaten finalists. Do they still go up to Senior B? Or do... I think O'Mahony still go up, don't they?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they do. Go up.
They still go up. Obviously, they wanted to go up as winners, you know. And I would have loved to have seen Kildare go up to Senior B. I know rules are rules and stuff. And in turn, seen their junior team going up to intermediate. But look, what it will mean is that they'll take beaten again next year in intermediate and junior A. And senior, as we know. So... No, we're kind of laughing at the prospect of them doing something similar again. But listen, with the conveyor belt of players that they have, you just wouldn't rule it out, would you?
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose while we'd love to see them go up to Senior B, then it brings the integrity of the game into question then, because you can manipulate results and, you know, you can put out stronger teams in different games and stuff like that. So it's understandable as well. It's just an amazing feat. As we said, next Saturday, Navan O'Matneys will make their trip into the Leinster Leinster Junior Hurling Club Championship, and they'll take on Leixlip in Clane on Saturday at 2 p.m. So best of luck to the Navan O'Matneys sides. Speaking of Leinster, Davey, we better move on into the results from last weekend, the football results from last weekend. We'll start with Kilbride. Kilbride were taking on Amsterdam over in Ashburn on Saturday. They didn't know what time they were playing at for quite some time, and Fergal Lynch did get on to them to explain to them that they weren't out at 2, they were out at 3 o'clock. And maybe that confusion got into their heads or whatever, because they scraped over a plucky Amsterdam side 13 points to 12 in the end. A baptism of fire for them going into Leinster Championship, but I suppose that the cobwebs now well and truly shaken off.
Oh, absolutely. I doubt... Yeah, I doubt they'll be taking too much from this other than just pure and utter relief, Mickey, because they dodged a big bullet here against an Amsterdam side who maybe we underestimated, maybe Kilbride underestimated, maybe everybody underestimated, but they had some really good footballers. And they led going into injury time, and Kilbride had to dig it out with Adam Malone equalising 3 minutes into stoppage time, and then the penalty being awarded, which I'm sure everybody has seen at this stage, the video going around of David O'Leary getting a penalty in the 67th minute and chipping it over the bar with the last kick of the game to win by a point. Astonishing goings on. There was two red cards, one for Kilbride, one for Amsterdam. And it was a pulsating finish. Kilbride led this game by 6 points at half-time, but playing against the elements in the second half, they really, really struggled. Minus the services of the likes of Josh Harford and Caelan Howard and that, I think Leo Turley and his management team will be just so relieved to get through it. And they'll have a big step up in class when they go and play Milltown next day out.
Yeah, they will indeed. But they survived the onslaught in the second half. They got over the line just about. And Kilbride, the first of our three teams to get victories over the weekend. The next one up was in Park Tailteann, and it was, of course, Rathkenny against Nevena from Wexford. Davey, we were kind of looking at this game last week, and we were speaking about how there could be a few absentees from the Nevena side, but Rathkenny would have to do a job. They went out and did it, 114 to Nevena's 4 points. Now, I was trying to look through teams from the intermediate final in Wexford and whatever compared to the team that lined out last weekend. I wasn't able to find any information on that intermediate final.
Yeah, so there was up to eight players who played in the intermediate final that weren't available for the Leinster game for Nevena that were in Liverpool on the Stag, and this and that did eventually catch up with them. To be fair to them, they gave Rathkenny a stern examination in the first half. There wasn't much in it. I think Rathkenny led by a couple of points at the break. But Nevena only mustered 1 point in the second half. That came 3 minutes into the second half, and Rathkenny completely took over. Scored a goal in eight without reply in the third/fourth quarter. The goal coming from Sean O'Hare. There were 9 points for Keith Curtis, and Rathkenny ran out comfortable victors. Dare I say it was probably that kind of game that you needed after a county final, because they laboured for long parts of the first half, Rathkenny, but they stepped it up significantly in the second half and blew away their visitors, who were plucky, in fairness to them, and gave them a really stern examination. But Rathkenny were too good, as expected, and progressed through. Looked good in the second half, despite being poor enough in the first.
Yeah, and we'll have full reviews of all the Leinster games over in our Loyal Royals podcast this week. So do tune in to that one. We'll also have the nominations for our Kiko Sports All-Stars event that's taking place on the 25th of November in the Blackwater Inn in Kells. The Kiko Sports We Are Mead All-Stars event taking place on November the 25th, Saturday, November the 25th. I know last week we may have given out a date. We've actually had to revisit that, and it is now going to be on, as we said, on the 25th of November. And we're going to have some big names there on the evening for the presentations. We will have a charity involved on the night as well. It's free admission into the Blackwater Inn. There's no charge at all. All we do ask is that you contribute something small to the charity in question on the night. But it is the 25th of November, and we're going to announce all the nominations for the All-Stars event later this week on our Loyal Royals podcast. Also, we will be doing a review of the regional championship first round matches that will take place on Tuesday and Wednesday of this week. So we're going to be at all of those games, Tuesday, Wednesday. We're going to be doing commentaries on either our Mixalore account or through Twitter. So stay tuned to our social media pages. If you're not able to make it to the regional championship, we've got you covered here on We Are Mead. We'll be doing full live broadcasts of all those games. So moving on anyway, the last game in Leinster to talk about was the one on Sunday, Davey. Quite a fair again, nothing to see here. Just a simple out win for Summerhill, 1-9 to Tullamore's 1-7. Played in Tullamore on Sunday afternoon. No controversies, nothing to talk. What an absolute war of attrition this game was, Davey. You said it last week about how tough this Tullamore side will be. They'll stop Summerhill from playing their running game. We did expect Summerhill just to have enough to get over them. They needed a few slices of luck, and then they needed a referee to make the right decision at the end of the game. Now, the Tullamore supporters and players probably didn't agree with the referee's decision at the end of the game to give the 13-yard free instead of a penalty. But it was the right call, because it was an overcarry in the large parallelogram, which is not a penalty. It's just a 13-metre free.
I don't know, was it an overcarry or was the ball touched on the ground or what went on? But you're 100% right. Barry Tiernan came to the exact right decision. As we know, the scenes after the game were unsavoury, to say the very least. But the referee and his team of officials, I suppose you'll have to include in this, got it absolutely spot on. And thankfully for Summerhill, they did, because they held on for a big, big win, Mickey. There would have been, I think, the seventh team in 12 years from Meath to go out at the first round stage, and they lost it. So it was a significant win. We knew how difficult it would be physically. It would be low scoring. It would be attritional. It was all of the above. But Summerhill found a way, as they've been doing. And it took Kevin Ryan off the bench, who probably was a little bit disappointed to find himself on the bench considering he started all year. But he came on, and Barry Darda's shot rebounded to him. I don't know how much Kevin Ryan knew about it, but the ball ended up in the back of the net off his knee with about 4 minutes to go. And that was the first time, I think, in the contest Summerhill went in front. And it suited them then, because I suppose they could sit back, soak up the pressure, and they kind of hit on the break then and got the couple of scores that they needed. Owen Frame would freeze, but Tullamore will feel aggrieved. They did an awful lot of things right, kept Barry Dardis and Owen Frame scoreless from play. We knew it would be a big test of them. But fairness to Summerhill, without Adam McDonald and obviously John Keane, which we suspected last week, they found a way and they ground out the victory in good style. And Shaw's, I've seen a couple of the videos again, was on wheels again on Sunday night, which is always a nice sight to see.
Yeah, absolutely. But a brilliant, brilliant win for Summerhill. You know, the first trip into Leinster in 10 years, and to get a win over a Tullamore side who, as we said last week, have tasted Leinster Championship in the last couple of years. They did maybe ride their luck a little bit. Tullamore, if I'm not mistaken, on the day had five or six different free takers. They were that bad on the day. They had to change free taker on numerous occasions before one of the players towards the end started to kick the frees for them. So still in all, a fabulous result for Summerhill, and they will march on in Leinster. They take on Naas of Kildare in the next round, another away game as well for them, Davey. So they'll get the bus going again to that one.
That'll be a big test. Naas have won the last three in Kildare, and we know how good they put the Dubs last year as well. So it'll be a serious test of Summerhill's credentials, but they'll go into it with confidence, and hopefully they might even have Adam McDonald back for that as well in a couple of weeks' time. So fingers crossed.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coin and Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer, on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automore, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Okay, so Davey, moving on then to the Meath LGFA results, and sticking with the Leinster theme, of course, it was the Dunshaughlin Royal Gaels who were taking on Kilmacud Crokes in Rathholt on the weekend, and unfortunately for them, they bowed out of the Leinster LGFA Senior Football Championship in their quarter-final against Dublin champions Kilmacud Crokes. Final score was a convincing 5-23-7 points victory for Kilmacud, who had too much firepower, it has to be said, for the Meath champions. In the intermediate, Leinster Intermediate Championship next Saturday, 28th of October, it's going to be Na Fianna who will play the winners of Fingallians from Dublin or Shanna Ho from Leash, and that's due to be played on the 20th, that game between Fingallians and Shanna Ho is due to be played on the 23rd of October. Junior Champions Waterstown will take on O'Rahilly's Oliver Plunkett's of Louth on Saturday, the 28th of October. So still two teams left in Leinster, Davey, from Meath LGFA. And like Nafina and Waterstown, they'll be hoping to get, you know, their opening round victory over the next 2 weeks.
They will. Nafina, a bit like Kildare, have a busy schedule. Mickey, having won the Camogie as well last weekend, so they'll be going into that Leinster campaign as well. But they'll be riding on the crest of a wave. We did suspect with Dunchocken and Royal Gales last week, obviously with Niamh O'Sullivan's hen on last weekend too, it would have been a formidable enough task if you had everybody available, but missing a couple of key players as well, it was on a 6-day turnaround from the final, it was always going to be a massive test. Fingallians will present a, or if it is to be Fingallians, I would imagine it would be, they'd present a formidable enough test for Nafina. And Waterstown, you fancy, could go well. You know, I think they've probably got the best chance of maybe making an impression in Leinster, and fingers crossed they've had the couple of weeks to get themselves right for a big test on Sunday next.
Yeah, absolutely. Some other results from the Meath LGFA. In the Junior E final, it was Carnaross 3-4, Longwood 2-4. In the Junior F final, it was Eastern Gales 2-10, D Rangers 1-10. The remaining junior finals in Junior B, Junior C and Junior D are down for decision next weekend. And before we go on to that, Davey, that's incredible from Eastern Gales.
Brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. They've been so consistent all year round, putting up big tallies, and what a start for them. I know it's the bottom of division, but you have to start somewhere, don't you, Mickey? And like that's a hell of a result for them. Just fantastic. Absolutely brilliant. And you would imagine their progress would continue for the next number of years.
Be so competitive in their first year of existence in the ladies is absolutely brilliant. And that'll only spur on the rest of the club, David.
Sure. And listen, they're looking to attract probably more players all the time, getting success like that and seeing the vision, I suppose, for what they want to do is likely to really stand to them in gathering new players for the new season and stuff. So, yeah, fantastic result.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. So junior, so some more fixtures in the Junior B final. Trim will face off against Kilbride and Bective on Saturday, the 28th of October at 1 p.m. Ian Dowdle takes charge of that game. In the Junior C final, it's Drumbarra and Centralstown chasing the Junior C honours in Slane at 1:30 on the 28th of October. That's the Saturday. And then in the Junior D final, Dunover Ashburn and Summerhill second teams battle it out for the Junior D title on Sunday, the 29th of October, and that's in Screen at 1 p.m. John Kavanagh is the referee for that one. So that is a look at all of the LGFA fixtures. Still loads of finals to be played yet. And I suppose the fact that there's no Leinster campaigns for any of them teams, it does mean that they can draw out the championships a little bit longer.
It does, but there's so many divisions, isn't there, Mickey? Like when you think about it, senior down to junior F, there's quite a bit to get through there. And just a word for Karen Ross as well. I know they're kind of one of the newly formed teams as well, having got their championship win over the weekend. Great scenes of celebration over in Bormeen for that. And I know that Karen Ross Inn was a lively enough spot come Sunday night too. So brilliant for them. And, you know, their progress, a little bit like Eastern Gales, is likely to take them a long way with them.
Yeah, absolutely. Davey, you have some Camogie results for us from last weekend as well, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, the big one was obviously the senior final, which was down for decision on Saturday. And it was Nafina who, as I kind of referenced already, made it a brilliant double. They defeated the old Queen Pins, Kilmessan, by 2 points in a really tight affair. It finished Nafina 1-9, Kilmessan 10 points. So a brilliant win for Nafina in that one. And the intermediate final also was on Saturday, I believe, and it was a win for Trim. They defeated Navan O'Matney's by a point. I'm just trying to get the scoreline. I can't actually see the scoreline here and now, but I know that Trim won that game by a point, and they will return to Senior B for another year. In speaking of Senior B, in that playoff between Boardsmill and Killeen, Killeen defeated Boardsmill 4-14 to 2-11. And just to bring you up to speed, Mickey, with a few fixtures from the Camogie as well, which are going to take place next weekend. First up, it's the Junior A Camogie final. This is rescheduled, and it's not going to take place until Saturday, the 4th of November. Time and venue still TBC, but it's going to see Dundry taking on Kiltale. In the Senior B semi-finals then, these games are on Sunday next, and time and venue still to be decided, but it's Cline on the back of that great win. They'll play Clanagail, and Ford's Mill will take on Cymru.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910, or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Okay, Davey, I suppose it's that time of the year where we think that football is starting to quieten down a little bit and stuff like that. Got the Leinster campaigns going on and whatever. But Meath, in their brilliance, decided last year that we were going to add in a regional championship. And it was probably one of the most exciting championships to watch last year. It was absolutely brilliant. And it commences again this week. It's starting on Tuesday evening. And we can't wait for it, because last year's regional championship was such high quality, loads of drama, fantastic management teams in place, and they've done the same again this year.
They have, and listen, that was always the fear, if you like, that you would always get it off the ground in the first year, and it would be hard to maintain that sort of momentum with not just players, but as you say, Mickey, with management teams and with venues. We know that they're going to have to go outside of Dungannon this year. So the games are going to be played in all sorts of different venues, which is great. They're all going to be under the lights midweek initially. I think the finals will be on for a weekend and stuff. So it's going to be something to look forward to. It feels like this year it's just flown in as well. I don't know, has it just gone under the radar a little bit more? But it's literally just flown around. Unreal.
Yeah, it really has. And again, check out our social media pages. We're going to bring you as many commentaries from the regional championship as possible. So if you're not able to make it to these games all around the county, don't worry, myself or Davey will make it to these games, and you'll be able to listen in on either our Mixalor or on our Twitter account. So do stay tuned to our social media for all of the details of those upcoming games. Davey, the eight regions for this year's competition are as follows: on Tushkart, Ardbraken, Blackwater, Boyne Valley, Runabonia, Loughcrew, Myfenra, and Tara. If I'm not mistaken, I think that's the exact same as what they were last year. They didn't change any of them, did they?
The names, sorry, there is one name change. I think Ardbraken.
That
was Darnley last year. So
Yeah,
that's the only name change I can see. And in terms of clubs, there is a little bit of tweaking with this, in that Clanagail have gone to Myfenra. Clanagail were in Darnley or Ardbraken last year. Navan O'Matley's have come into Ardbraken this year as a result of coming down from senior last year. And we do know now that Rakeni won't take part because they're in the Leinster. They're going to be replaced by Manalvi, which is logistically probably not the best. But unfortunately, there's nothing that can be done about that. It would have been better if it was Screen from that perspective. I think Screen are pretty good not to be involved in it though, Mickey. So they're the only real changes in terms of the teams. A little bit disappointed for Rakeni because they won it last year. Their region won it last year. And they had a few like key men with Keith Curtis and that. But they're going to have to defend it without Rakeni this year, in other words. Manalvi will come in at their expense.
Yeah, absolutely. And look at some of the players that Manalvi have that are available for that team as well. It'll be absolutely brilliant. We'll just run through the management teams quickly for each of them. So on Tushkart, it's going to be managed by Seamus Kenny. Tyke Boyle from Meath Hill, Vinnie O'Reilly from Screen, Michael Shankey from Kilmaine and Mud, and Jerry McEntee from Knobber will be involved in that management team. Ard Bracken will be managed by Paul Garrigan, and James Costello from Cortown, Garrett Dooley from Dundry, David Bray from Navan O'Matney's, Thomas Brady from Navan O'Matney's, and Stephen Maxwell from Ballybockle will all be involved in Ard Bracken. Unbelievable management teams being put together. Blackwater will be managed by David Nolan, John Tiernan from Wolf Tones, Ross McDonald from Wolf Tones, Paddy Caffrey from Wolf Tones, and Jerry Murphy from Wolf Tones will all be involved in that one. So a senior management team for the regional championship there. They're not spreading their wings too far either. David Nolan grabbing all the lads he could get from Wolf Tones. Boyne Valley will be managed by John McCarty, Joey Farley from Waterstown, Paul McCarty from Waterstown, James Sheehy from Sidon, Des Teeling from Dalek Bellison, and Carl Sheridan will be involved in that management team. Carl Sheridan from Mynalvi. Bruna Bonia, their manager is going to be Niall Ronan. Ben Brennan from St. Colum Kills, Paul McManus from Drumbarra, Emmets, Colin Crosby from Dalek Bellison, and Kieran Branigan from St. Vincent's will be involved in Bruna Bonia's management team. Loch Crew will be managed by Davy Nelson once again. Martin Blake from St. Bridget's, Jerry Gibney from Moyla, Paddy Gilsonen from Oldcastle, and Kevin Devine from Ballinlock will be involved in Loch Crew, if I'm not mistaken. That's most of the management team from last year. And then Mife Fenra will be managed by Tom Hanley, Cian Royston from Boardsville, John Rafferty from Nafina, Damien Griffin from Nafina, and Sean Corrigan from Beliver will be involved again. Again, similar management teams last year. And Tara will be managed by David Gallagher. He will have Alan Nestor from Blackall Gales, Kevin Call from Dunsany, Dennis Gallagher from St. Peter's and Boyne, and Niall Gibbs from St. Peter's and Boyne as well, involved in the Tara one. Davey, some of the management teams staying fairly the same, but some brilliant new additions coming into it there as well.
Yeah, you could make a team of fellas that are part of the management team that could still do a job for you, with the likes of Ben Brennan and Alan Nestor and Paddy Gilsonen and fellas like that. There was another couple that we came across that I just can't remember now. But yeah, outstanding. And listen, fellas that are pretty close to it. Some guys who are still playing club football in Meath, which is great to see as well. And some high profile names as well. You know, you've got the likes of the Meath under 20 manager there. From McCarthy, you've got Paul Garrigan, who was a select for Colin O'Rourke this year, Davy Nelson, you know, former Mead ladies manager as well. It's some really star-studded names there, and I think players shouldn't have any problems going out and playing for managers like those, I would say.
No, absolutely not. And as you said, there's enough lads there that would be of an ilk that they could still play ball, and it'd be interesting to see a management team taking on the winners of that regional championship, Davy.
Yeah, no, it really, really would. And do you know what else is great to see? I better include Cian Royston because he still plays for Boardsmill. He'd be quite insulted if he knew that. I didn't mention him as a potential player as well. But isn't it great to see the spread from across clubs, Mickey? You know, guys that aren't really attached to any one region or at one, you know, set of clubs still put their names forward to get involved too. Kieran Brangan's another player for St. Vincent who's been injured but had to get into management. Des Teeling, that's a really shrewd appointment, I think, from John McCarthy in getting the Slane manager involved on the back of his success this year. It'll be really interesting to see how it goes and if the squads are anyway as star-studded as some of the management teams. I think we're in for another fantastic competition.
Yeah, we are indeed. There's two new sponsors involved for the competition this year, with Brady Skoda being the title sponsor and Blue Oak Council the secondary sponsor. And great to have those sponsors involved. So in Group A, the four teams in Group A are Tara, Boyne Valley, Bruna Bonia and Ard Bracken. So round one fixtures on Tuesday the 24th of October in Batterstown. It'll be Tara against Boyne Valley. And the other round one fixture will take place on Wednesday night, and that'll see Bruna Bonia taking on Ard Bracken in Donore at 8 o'clock. In Group B, the fixtures from Group B, Blackwater will take on Tushkart. Sorry, the four teams involved. Blackwater, Tushkart, Mife Fenra, Loch Crew. And round one fixture on Tuesday the 24th will be at 8 o'clock in Mynalty. It's Blackwater taking on Tushkart. And then the other game will take place on Wednesday night at 8 p.m. in Longwood. And that's Mife Fenra against Lough Prue. We will be doing some commentaries on these games, so do stay in, do stay tuned, because we will be bringing you those to our social media pages. We will be sending out the links and all them. I can't wait for it, Davey. You look at how beneficial that was to Colm O'Rourke last year, and the Meath team and the Meath panel. You know, what do you expect? Are you expecting some more of the same this year, to unearth maybe a couple of little gems from the regional championship?
Yeah, I would be, Mickey. I wouldn't see any reason why you wouldn't, because it was very good to him last year when you think about some of the fellas that he brought in. And there's going to be a certain Keane McBride featuring as well this year for one of the regions. So I think Colin will be probably keeping a close eye on our Bracken's progress, and maybe what Keane is shaping up for. Hopefully we might see him in a Meath jersey in the not too distant future.
Yeah, he's home, that I take it, Davey.
He's home a couple of weeks, yeah, and he's his name forward to play in the region. Yeah, so obviously it'd be brilliant to see how he's going, and he's likely to put back a few neutrals as well, I would imagine, to help his games.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be interesting to see how Keane McBride gets on. Obviously wasn't home for that relegation final that St Dultans were in, but it'll be a huge addition to them when they go into the Junior B Championship next year. And obviously, he'd be a massive addition as well for Meath if he was able to get back up to speed and make it into that Meath panel. Moving on then, Davey, the Leinster provincial draw has taken place as well. And first round, we'll see Meath taking on Longford in Longford. It's an away fixture for Meath.
Yeah, obviously with the redevelopment of Park Tolton and that as well, I don't think we could have really got a home game. It's funny, the Leinster doesn't mean near as much as what it maybe meant this year to us, because we are assured of our place in the All-Ireland series. So in one way, that's grand. But in another way, it's a bit of a free hit for us, isn't it? You know, we can kind of go at Leinster and not play with hopefully too much pressure. We look at Longford down there in Piers Park. That's not, you know, not a...
It definitely doesn't bring back fond memories the last time we were down there, David.
No, so look, that's going to be a banana skin in itself. And as we know, the winner goes on to play Dublin in the quarterfinals. Then again, I wouldn't, it would have been great to kind of stay on the other side of the draw, but at the same time, we know where we're going after Leinster, regardless of what we do in it. So I think it's a good opportunity to have a bit of a hit at Leinster and in Dublin, hopefully, if we get to that stage, and take that on into the All-Ireland series then.
So if we get over Longford, and then obviously we're going to hammer Dublin, we'll be either taking on Offaly or Laois in the Leinster semi-final.
Nice one.
On the other side of it, you're going to see Kildare and Westmeath. Kildare will play the winners of Westmeath or Wicklow. You'd expect maybe Westmeath to get over that one, but it would be a tricky assignment. And then Loud will play the winners of Carlow and Wexford. So the other side of the draw, while Dublin are not... whatever side of the draw that has Dublin is always a tough side. But that is not an easy side when you look at Kildare, Westmeath, Loud, Wexford, Wicklow and Carlow on the other side. Probably if you came through that, you know, you'd have earned your place in a Leinster final at the same time.
Well, and that's it. And there will be teams scrapping for an All-Ireland place in that cluster of teams. You're right. The other thing that's probably worth mentioning is the seeding for the All-Ireland. We won't go into it in too much detail maybe on this show, Mickey, but at the moment, we are fourth seeds. So as Tolton champions, we're fourth seeds. But we can make ourselves third, second, or even first seeds, depending on what we do in the league and championship, Leinster Championship next year. So it is worth keeping that in mind, because naturally it's like the Champions League format. If you're going in as fourth seeds, you're going to be playing two or three of the so-called bigger hitters. So it is within our interest to obviously go well in the league, which will be a huge priority, I would imagine, anywhere for us. But even in the Leinster Championship, if somehow we did go and get to a final or even win it, we would propel ourselves to first seeds, which would be, you know, something obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we can always live in hope. it's the hope that gets you, Davey.
It's October, Mickey. Come on, we have to.
Yeah. I'm not even going to start talking about hope and clocks now, so I'm not. You know, definitely not. But, let's look at Longford and take it from there. You know, we will be travelling down to Pierce Brothers, Glennon Brothers, Pierce Park in Longford for that one. But, the Leinster draw done, and Did you see any of the other draws? Did you see the Ulster draw?
Absolutely. I've seen, McGuinness and Hart, isn't it?
Yeah. It's just absolute pandemonium.
Who've Cavan?
Cavan of Monaghan. Oh, and if they get over Monaghan, they play Tyrone.
Oh, God.
So, baptism of fire for Ray Galligan in the Cavan management. But, it's going to be an interesting summer. So, that's next year. We won't worry about that for now. We will do a podcast on that in the next few weeks when the club championship, Leinster club championship, etc., all quietens down.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
Davey, time to move on now to our Lotto segment, and I'm sure that all the PROs have been in contact with you as always.
Yeah, the first one up is from Waterstown, Mickey, and their results from the 22nd of October. The numbers drawn were 8, 14, 16 and 19. They had no jackpot winner. They did manage two match three winners who were Emer McGrain and Willie Clark. Next week's draw is worth €9,000. Portown is next in from last Friday night, our €16,400 jackpot, not won. The numbers were 2, 13, 20 and 29. 5 €20 winners were Bridie Clark at Harford, Jim and Patrick Potts, Karen Gilston and Ross Maguire. Our second Trolley Dash finalist is Johnny McDonnell, and the winner of the Family Pass for 5 to Pharmaphobia was Joyce Meaton. We go again on Friday night with €16,500 at portowngaa.com/lotto. Minolti are next in from Sunday night. Their jackpot of €3,800 wasn't won. The numbers were 10, 14, 17 and 27. 5 match 3 winners, each receiving €40, were Anthony Nevin, Boric McMahon, Kieran Feeney, Jerry Curran and Mary Alwell. The special online prize of €50 went to Zeta McCarroll. And next week's draw takes place on Monday, and it's worth €4,000. Next in is Castletown, and their results from the 18th of October, 5,900 of a jackpot, not won. The numbers were 8, 10, 16, and 22. Lucky dip winners, each receiving €30, were Suzanne Farley, Donal Conway, Patrick Kearns slash B Smith, Brendan White, and B&M Smith. Next in is Navan O'Matney's. Their last week's draw, the numbers were 8, 20, 25, and 26. No jackpot winner. Match three winners were Ulton Potts and Anne-Marie Ford. The next draw is worth €13,400, and it takes place on the 24th of October, which, if I'm not mistaken, is Tuesday night. Drumbarra are next in, and their numbers from last week were 1, 4, 19, and 22. 3,700 of a jackpot. Not one. The €30 winners were Sean Smith from Canada, Jenna Egan, David Connolly, Noel Muldoon, and Sean and Maureen Monaghan. Manalvi from last Monday night, the 16th of October, 10, 16, 20, and 22. Geez, I'm nearly sure they're identical numbers to another one that we just did. Anyway, it doesn't matter. you know when you're just... Yeah. Anyway, 3 €20 winners were Shane Riley, Dermot Callan, and Jessica Savage. Extratics tonight, Monday. It's worth €5,100 when you can play it at manalbgft.ie or on Club Fort app. Kilmainham from last Monday night, no winner of their weekly draw. 3, 5, 6, and 17. Next week's draw is worth €9,500. The lucky dip winners from last week, each receiving €20, were Shannon Heary, Jeanette Arkins, Saron Jackson, Dylan Morgan, and Ian Bracknell. And next in is Blackhall Gales from last Monday night. 10,000 of a jackpot. The numbers were 11, 12, 18, and 21. No jackpot winner. 30 € winners were Sean and Mary McCarthy, Sandra Farrell, Rachel Mallon, and Mark Ferris. Seller's prize was Teresa Conlon. And the next draw takes place on the 30th of October. And it's live at the clubhouse with a €10,000 jackpot and a reserve currently sitting at €8,200. And the final one, I think, on my list, Mickey, for this week comes from Ballinlock. These are fortnightly draws taking place on Monday nights. Last week's was a €5,900 jackpot, which wasn't won. The letters were E, J, T, and had an M, I'm going to say. The next draw takes place on the 31st of October, which is Bank Holiday Monday. And they had one match three winner last week who collects €100 win, and that was Catherine Cotton. And the next draw takes place in the clubhouse.
Brilliant stuff, Jamie. Moving on then to the Centerton Lotto from last Monday, the 9th of October. The numbers drawn were 11, 20, 21, and 22. There was no jackpot winner. The five lucky dip winners were Mark Mooney, Shane Finnegan, Matty McCabe, Zoe Moore, and Bernie Muldoon. If I'm not mistaken, I think we may have read that one out already last week. That was from the 9th. So, yeah, I think we're missing. That's from too far back. Let's see if we can find the one that we're supposed to be looking. I don't think there is one up there at the minute, Davey, but we'll just have to continue on. There we go. Typical. Went on to the website, got the wrong one. So the Kilmainham's Lotto last week was not won. Kilmainham Woods Lotto last week was not won. The numbers drawn were 3, 13, 17, and 21. Five lucky dip winners were Kira Gilston, Luke Riley, John Curtis, Oren Kyogan, and Kathleen McCabe. This week's lotto will be a massive €4,200. Moving on then to Simonson's lotto last Friday, the 20th. Jackpot was 4,100. There was no winner. The match three winners were DSR Morton and Martina Higgins. The numbers drawn were 12, 22, 30, and 31. We're going to have one more look to see if we can find the lotto from Centerton. Doesn't seem to be up there, Davey. I can't seem to find it. So I think we'll just have to move on. There's not much more we can do. We just give out that result once again, the same one from 2 weeks ago. But yeah, that is the lottos looked at. And it's time now to move on to our Instagram talking points.
Yeah, Alan McCormick just said the treble.
Yeah, it was brilliant. I'll never forget it. 1999. League Cup and Champions League, and
not a patch, only one team
can emulate that, not Man City. It is, of course, Kildare.
Yeah. Shea Diggins also wanted to talk about the treble. The next one up is from PS Tapes, and he said, watch the Beckham documentary yet, lads? His move to Madrid has a bang of Brennan to Cavan. In what way, Paddy?
Yeah, Colin O'Rourke wouldn't answer me phone calls, and I was just told by the club that they were moving me off to Cavan. Yeah, they were moving me to Louth, and I said, look, lads, you know, if you're getting rid of me, let me go where I want to go.
Yeah, and go to a different province where you can't cause us any trouble. very good. Brilliant. The next one up is from Red Cooney, and he just said, on the hill.
Absolutely brilliant from Summerhill, yeah, delightful for them, and wonder where their ceiling is going to be this year now.
Cormac Rafferty said some dive from the referee in the Summerhill game.
I know what he means, like, as in he went down a bit like that referee who Perlo Di Canio nudged or whatever, but like he was pushed from behind. It doesn't matter whether he fell, whether he dived or made a meal of it. It was horrendous, absolutely horrendous.
It was horrendous. And I know the 2010 Leinster final was worse, you know, in terms of objects being thrown and stuff like that. But it had a very similar feel to it, didn't it? Like when people coming onto the pitch. And unfortunately, this is what's going to ruin, like, pitch. I love pitch invasions after games and after finals and stuff like that. But instances like this is what's going to completely negate it from all of our games going forward. You know,
yeah,
it's letting everybody else down. I thought it was disgraceful. I absolutely agree. He goes down easy, but that shouldn't be happening, you know.
But yeah, and at the end of the day, he wasn't expecting it either. Like,
yeah,
he didn't see it coming. Like, so,
yeah.
And he's not a 45-year-old man. Like, you know, he is a little bit older. And I just, yeah, horrendous.
Joe McQueenie wants to know: will DJ Manning play the next round, or did Kilbride sign him up for a load of gigs?
You can answer that one, maybe.
Yeah, well, he managed to keep a clean sheet, so maybe his goalkeeper impressed him as well. But, you know, he's a busy man. I think he's tied to Manute. Brady's a Manute for the foreseeable future. I think Brady will be happy to hear. So he's not going anywhere for down. Robert Burfield wants to know, have Kildallkey completed hurling now?
I think hurling should be just wrapped up now. That's it. It's done. Yeah. He's right. It's like you're playing a computer game and you finish the computer game and you complete it. Exactly. He's 100% right. They should just, that's it. They should retire on a high.
Yeah. Sean Barrett said Rakeni's Leinster win.
Yeah, brilliant. Obviously, Nevada not at full strength and whatever, but Rakeni had to go out and do a job, and Keith Curtis was exceptional once again.
Yeah. Dara Tui wants to know, will you be covering the under-19 championship?
Well, we were discussing that earlier on, Davey, and we were saying that we will try and get some games in, but if it coincides with the regional championship, the regional championship will have to take precedence. But we'll try and get some of it done.
Exactly. Alan McCormick wants to know about Davey's carbon footprint.
Yeah, Davey, tell us about this. Like your air miles at the moment... Do you care about the environment at all?
I do, yeah. I'm going to have to go into a shell now for the next few months because I've done loads of fine.
You'll be planting trees all over Cortown for the next while.
Tell you what, I hate flying, right? And I've been very fortunate that I haven't got an awful flight, you know, in the last while because, you know, this time of year, weather can be tricky in that, but no, it's been good. But no, I apologize, and that'll be me now until at least Christmas. Anyway, Aina Mooney wants to know, how much Guinness can one slain team drink? # treble. They've done a treble as well, of course. Yeah, Premier, yeah. League, and Champions. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's not a Guinness left. There's not a Guinness keg left anywhere in the vicinity of Slane at the minute.
Yeah, and it's great that they don't have Leinster, so they can really enjoy the winter. I'm sure they'll have plenty in the regional though, so they'll be busy. Yeah. Glenn McDonald said hurling cat. I don't know. Does he mean the standard, or I don't know what he's getting at there.
Was there a pussycat at one of the hurling matches?
I didn't even think about it like that, but yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Well, that's the way we're going to look at it, because we don't take the negative comments about hurling being cat. It's obviously brilliant.
Yeah. Deck F. Dunn said the ref getting the call wrong in Tullamore, then getting assaulted. GA needs to act.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he got the call wrong. He initially... Yeah. Signaled for a 13-meter free. Then he consulted the umpires, and then he gave a penalty. And then the linesman came into him, and like in the end, they got the decision right. So, you know, yes, there was a bit of controversy, like leading up to it. But once they get the decision right, that's the main thing. Like, you know, you look at VAR in England, and you look at what happened with Liverpool, and like, while we were all delighted for them, at the same time, Barber got it wrong, you know.
Yeah.
But had they taken a couple of moments and got that right, you would have went, all right, well that's fair, because the right decision was made in the end.
Yeah, I agree. The thing I'm getting at here, though, is that the ref couldn't win.
Yeah.
Let's say he stuck with the penalty decision, then Summerhill fans would have been open arms. I'm not saying for 1 minute that Summerhill fans would have done what was done, But they would have been up in arms, and I think.
But they would have had more of a right to be up in arms because the decision was the wrong.
Decision was wrong, but at the same time, the longer it goes on, and the couple of changes in between, aggravated the Tullamore fans. I'm sure when they all went home and looked at it, I think if anybody's looking at it objectively, that understands the rules, they'll know that the right decision was made, and heat of the moment and all that kind of thing. And obviously, we know what's happened then. So yeah, look. The GA does need to act, though. I think that's kind of the takeaway from that comment, Mickey.
Yeah, absolutely.
Patrick Riley wants to know, how far will Summerhill go?
They'll definitely go down to Nace. Anyway, they don't need to go any further than that.
Time being,
Yeah, for the time being. But look, there's something about this Summerhill side. There really is. And they didn't play well against Tullamore. And they still got the victory. A massive test the next day against Nace. And if they can get over Nace, we'll talk about the next game after that. Let's not put any pressure on them.
yeah, no, absolutely. And I'm just looking at the outright odds, if you like, for Leinster. I don't have kind of the comparison on the games. Summerhill are 16-1 shots, and Nace are 8-1 second favourites after Kilmacud. So
yeah,
I would suggest that Summerhill will go into that game against Nace as big underdogs, which is fair because, you know, Nace are 3 in a row champions in Kildare and a really good side. So it'll be a massive test to Summerhill, but one that I'm sure they'll relish, Mickey.
Yeah. And it's funny because you say that Nace are 3 in a row champions in Kildare. Like, the bounce of a ball or one different reaction or whatever in any of those last 3 finals, and we could be looking at Summerhill as being 3 in a row champions. Like, that's how close they were as well.
It's a bit of a shame. I think they beat Micheál McDermott's Selbridge in the final, didn't they? It would have been nice if Selbridge had come through and played Summerhill with Micheál over them, but not to be, unfortunately.
I think Micheál McDermott was going for 5 senior championships in 5 different counties.
he's something else, in fairness, isn't he? Anyway, the last one I have in is from Richie Davis, and he just said Kildare's treble, crazy stuff.
Yeah, really is crazy stuff. As one of our other contributors said, they've completed hurling. Like, they have. You know, I honestly think the only way for them to pair this year is to add a 4th team in next year and win the Junior 2 as well. And go for the quadruple. Go for the proper quadruple.
On a serious note, though, like, dropping back into intermediate at Leinster level, we've seen what Trim did last year. There's no real reason why they can't give that a proper rattle in Leinster now in a couple of weeks' time. I know they're not, I think they're not out till the 11th of November, but they'll really want to give that a good rattle, I'd say, Mickey.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, they're, and like, they've been at the top table in Meath for so long now. Like, it'd be lovely to see them giving Leinster a rattle. And getting a good run at intermediate level, because these guys know their, you know, they know their job, they know their traits, they know hurling. These are the top hurlers in the county, like,
for sure. That's it for this week.
No bother. Well, Davey, look, we've got a whole host of other podcasts to get done this week. We've got the review of the Leinster club action. We've got the Kiko Sports All-Star nomination podcast going out as well. So all of the clubs across the county need to hear that one, because that is going to be the one where we will be giving you the nominations for each position. And we will want you to get in contact with us and let us know who your preferred nomination is for a nominee for each position. And we'll be announcing that team, obviously, on the 25th of November in the Blackwater Inn in Kells at the Kiko Sports VR Mead All-Stars event night. We'll have plenty of contributors on the night. We'll have special guests, etc., and all that as well. So that's another podcast coming out this week. And we'll have the Regional Review podcast later in the week. Of course, those games taking place on Tuesday and Wednesday evening. Well, look, that's it from this episode of your VR Mead podcast. Remember, VR Mead 5.